Joshua chapter 7. Let me say, boy, I appreciated that message by Brother Jared there. What a great message. Amen. I tell you, we should just let that be the whole message tonight. Amen. He nailed it. Amen. I appreciate it. Amen. I say amen to everything he said. And it's good to hear a young man say those things. Amen. And I'm glad he preached those things. Hope you young people will heed those things, those warnings. Amen. Don't give up your seat. Amen. It's a good seat. Amen. It's right where you ought to be. And you'll not regret that. I've never heard anybody, and you know this, I've never heard anybody say, I got saved too early. I wish I'd waited a little longer. I wish I'd sowed a few more wild oats. Wish I'd partied a little bit more. I just got saved too young. I've never heard anybody say that. I've never heard anybody say, man, I gave my life to God way too early. I started living for God way too early. I wish I'd seen what the world had to offer a little bit more and got scarred up a little bit more and messed up a little bit. No, I've never, and you've never heard that. And you never will. How many times have I heard this? Boy, I wish I got saved when I was a little boy. I wish I got saved when I was a little girl. Man, I wish I'd surrendered my life to God back when I was a teenager. Amen. You've heard that. Amen. The old devil, he wants to deceive and he wants to blind and he wants to damage and he wants to ruin your life, young person, no doubt about it. And I tell you, and he's doing it today. He's always, the devil's always been after our young people. He's always has crosshairs on them. I remember when I was a young person, you were asked a while ago how many have been raised in church. I've been in church as long as I can remember. I've been in church. And then my pastor, he's with the Lord now, Brother B.B. Bull, he preached. Now, I remember as a young man, as a teenage boy, him warning us about those things. The devil was after me when I was a boy, when I was a teenager. He's still after you today. But boy, it seems like he has so many different things today to get our minds away and to ruin our young people. And young people, I tell you, he's a liar. He's always been a liar. Don't listen to him. Amen. Well, it's an honor to be here. I love this church. I love your pastor, Brother Dotson. What a great man of God he is. I count it an honor every time God allows me to be here. And what an honor it is to preach to young people. And I have a love for young people and a desire to see God use them. And that's why I said it did my heart so good to see this young man standing out and preach and to help me. It certainly did help me. But I want to preach to you tonight what God's laid upon my heart. And I just want to say, I want to pray tonight that God would let my attitude, my spirit be right, and I believe it is, but I don't want it to come across wrong. What I have tonight's heavy on my heart, amen, because I believe it's a message that needs to be heard. As I already said, young people, the devil's after you, and I hope that you won't turn a deaf ear to what I have to say tonight, and I hope that you'll hear and listen. This is, I know this is an old man, but it's an old man trying to warn you of some things I believe are true, amen. And I've seen some things. I've pastored for a while, preached for a while. I've seen a lot of young people, as this young man said a while ago, that used to have a seat, and now they're somewhere else tonight. Amen. They've got out and messed up their lives. And the devil wants you to just be another statistic. He wants to ruin you. Amen. Right now, if we never fulfill what God wants you to do, he wants to ruin you. And I hope that you'll heed tonight what I have to say to you. All right. Before we read the word of God, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we come before you tonight. And God, I pray this evening that you'd help us, Lord. God, I pray get me out of the way. And Father, I pray help my heart and mind to be right. I pray, God, that you would guide my lips tonight. And Father, give me clarity of thought. I pray, God, help us to speak those truths that you'd have us to say. And Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here tonight. And Father, it's not by mistake or by coincidence that we're all here this evening. You've brought us to this place for this time, Lord, just right now to hear, Lord, the message we've already heard. And Lord, now to hear from the Word of God again. And I pray, God, you do a work in hearts tonight. I pray for every young man, every young woman, every boy or girl that's here. I pray if there's one lost, please save them. If there's one tonight, God, that has been saved, but Lord, they're kind of playing around. Lord, they're kind of walking that line. Father, they're, Lord, on the place almost, Lord, to make a wrong decision to go the direction they shouldn't go. I pray tonight, God, that you'd get a hold of their heart. And Lord, before they go the wrong way, that you'd bring them back to you, Lord, I ask tonight. And God, I pray all that's done may it be done for your honor and for your glory. And we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do. For in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we ask these things. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You have your Bibles there in Joshua chapter 7. Look with me in verse 19. If you would, please, let's stand together to honor God's word and give you a little rest as you've been sitting for a while. Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. The Bible says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. Behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. You may be seated. Now this is a story we're all very familiar with. The story of Achan. I want you to notice there'll be two places here. First, Joshua says to him, I want you to tell me and hide it not from me. Hide it not from me. And then in verse 21, he says, I took it and I hid it in the earth. And verse 22 says, they went and they found it and it was hid in his tent. I want to preach tonight for just a little while on a secret life. A secret life. It's been about last year in April. I was out in California. I'd taken a group of young people from the school there on their senior trip. And I got up on a Wednesday morning that week and signed online, was kind of looking for some traffic things. We were going to be traveling that day and trying to look for the traffic, what it was going to be like and the weather and some things like that. And a headline popped up there that said the Golden State Killer had been arrested. And, well, that intrigued me. So I clicked on that link and read the story. And it was about a gentleman whose name was Joseph James D'Angelo. He was 72 years old, and they had arrested him the previous day. On that Tuesday, they'd come to his house, and he was a police officer for about 10 years, and about 40 years before this, there had been a string of murders there in the Sacramento area. Several people had been killed, and there had been some other crimes, rapes and burglaries and things going on there in that time frame. And some 40 years later, they had linked this man by DNA that he was that Golden State Killer. And they arrested him. At the time, they arrested him for about 8 counts of murder. But it came up later that he was charged with 13 murders, 45 rapes, and more than 100 residential burglaries and kidnappings with the thought to burglarize. All these crimes had been done over a couple of years there. But it had been 40 years before. They spoke to some of the people he lived around, and they said, well, he kind of kept to himself. He always kept a very meticulous home. His yard was always mowed very meticulously. His house was painted to look nice. And they said sometimes he'd have outbursts of anger, but different things. But he, for the most part, kept to himself. They talked to one man who had been a teenager years before that and had had kind of an altercation with this man that had gotten his father involved. And he made this statement. He said, no one thinks they live next door to a serial killer. But at the same time, it's just like, well, he was kind of a weird guy. He kept to himself. But when you start thinking about it, you're like, well, I guess I could see him doing something like that. But you never would have suspected it. This guy thought, 40 years, I've gotten away with it. Nobody knows. But he lived every day knowing what he had done. Every day knowing what was in his past. Those around him thought, well, he's different. But never would I have suspected I lived next door to a serial killer. But this man had a secret life that he kept hidden. I was reading online some things there about a group, and it's a Christian group that we probably wouldn't line up with, but they were doing some interviews and some other things with young ladies and Christian young ladies, and they found out that many Christian young ladies, or those professing to be saved, interviewed, thought that it was okay to be one person at home and around people that you know, but then when you get online, it was all right to be a completely different person. They found that these young ladies, and it's not just young ladies, it's men, young men as well, but it said they found that professing Christian girls would often get online, they would gossip, they would use profanity, they would talk casually about sex, they would send and receive illicit text messages and photographs and things like that. They would target other young girls with their comments, mean-spirited, hateful things. And then these same girls that would involve themselves in all this activity would then go to church, and they would sing in the choir, and they would be at the youth group Bible studies, and they would even many times would just gush about their faith and about how they trusted Christ, and yet they were living double lives. They had a secret life going on. Listen, now I know that a lot of young people today, you know, there's a people talk about a gap and all these kind of things, and you know, you laugh at your mom and dad because they can barely turn their phone on, and you've got all these things. You just think, oh, they're clueless, and in many ways, maybe they are. I've always said, I don't know that it's so much a generation gap that we can't. It's just as you grow up and get older, there's things that matter to you, and a lot of things that matter to young people just don't matter to us because we realize it's not that important in the big scheme of things. And if you live long enough, one day you'll understand that as well, amen? You know, I don't live for Fortnite. Amen. I don't live for my Instagram post, and I don't want to live for how many followers I have and all these things. Those things are fine, I guess, in their place, but there's so many things that are so much more important. I have a hard time arresting some statistics. And, you know, you don't find the word teenager in the Bible. There's babies, there's children, there's young men, young women, there's older or aged men and aged women. This is a made-up term of teenagers. You know, I'm not against you, I love you, I'm just saying it's a made-up term. And I read somewhere a while back that adolescents now, and I know statistics and what people make up, but adolescents now, I read one statistic that says it goes to 38 years old. That's those people living in their mom and dad's basement still playing video games. Waiting for their check to come in the mailbox and wouldn't strike a lick at a snake. Amen. Grow up. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man. This young man a while ago said, we need some men. He's right. We need some men. Grow up, be a man. Grow up, be a woman. Amen. Be a child when you're a child, but grow up. You get online, you've got your Instagram accounts, you've got your other social media accounts, I'm around teenagers all the time, and if you're not careful, you've got that fake account that nobody knows, you've got that secret account nobody knows. And I want to be careful what I say because I don't want to give anybody any ideas, haven't had them. I was reading some different things, some different apps and things you have, and there's one app that's out there, and I won't give you the name of it, but that you can post pictures. It's a storage place to put pictures and things like that and let your friends know. This one is so advanced that it has an option for two passwords. And so let's say mom and dad just want to know. Well, you can give mom and dad a password, and it goes to a different place on that site. Doesn't show anything. But then you give all your friends the real password, and then go on that same site and see all kinds of junk that don't need to be on there. The internet's a wonderful tool, but it also can be a terrible trap if you're not careful. And I would be foolish to think that there's not young people perhaps here tonight that you're involved in your youth group. And if people in your church would ask and say, oh, she is such a fine young lady. He's such a fine young man. And yet, if the truth were known, you're living a secret life. That you come and you appear one way at church, but in your heart you know that's not who you really are. The devil knows that. And he's convinced you that it's all okay, but it's not. And here Achan was, and you know what, the story. He took these things and hid them in his tent. It was a secret life. Let me give you a few things tonight, and I'll try to be quick tonight. But, oh, please hear me tonight. And if God speaks to your heart, please don't resist. Please don't reject. But please, tonight, if God speaks to your heart, please respond accordingly. Amen. First of all, this secret life tonight, it's caused by disobedience. Oh, we come up with all kinds of excuses of why. And certainly we live in a day and age where it's the blame game. Well, it's because of how mom and dad, they failed raising me. Or it's because of this situation that I've turned out the way I am. And all these other things. It's all because, no, it's just disobeying God's words what the problem is. Now, I understand all of us have something to overcome in our lives. I was raised by my grandmother. I didn't have a mom and dad growing up as far as in my household. But I was raised by a grandmother that loved the Lord. And, you know, there were things to overcome with that. But guess what, dear friend? With God's help, you can overcome those things and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So quit trying to blame it on everything in the world. Let's just realize our problems, for the most part, come when we disobey the Word of God. Well, preacher, maybe Achan didn't know. Well, take your Bibles, turn to chapter 6 of Joshua, verse 17. Joshua 6, verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now he knew. He was told, stay away from these things. Don't take these things because they're accursed. And you'll curse yourself and you'll curse the camp of Israel. Don't do it. He knew what was expected of him. Well, then how did he get in that predicament? He disobeyed God's word. He disobeyed God's word. Listen, friend, I find it interesting when I look here in the scripture I read to you. The Bible says when he told Joshua what had happened, he says, when I saw among the spoils, and he begins to list these things, when I saw among these things, This wasn't some passing glance. Now, what was in chapter 6? Joshua said, stay away from them. Don't get near them. But Achan says, well, when I saw among it, he was looking. He was looking. If he had listen, if he had done what the man of God said and just stayed away, he never would have saw and coveted and taken it. I mean, many years ago, I was working in a small Christian school, and there was a young lady there who was she loved the Lord. I remember seeing her testify. I remember seeing her come to the altar. I believe she was sincere and real in her heart. And I taught that school there for 1 year and then moved on. And Brother Lee Davis, he started a school there at Georgetown. I went over and helped him start the school, was the principal there at that school for about 3 years. And when I was at that school there, this young girl at the other school, I remember hearing, they said, you'll never believe what happened to this young lady. And since she kind of got out of church, and I thought, I can't believe that. She got out of church, got away from the Lord and things like that. And I just couldn't imagine it, couldn't believe it. But it was so. Started running, this brother talking about tears, started running out the wrong people, and all the things she once stood for, now she got in sin. Remember, she worked at the place near where the school was, so I'd stop every so often and just kind of speak to her, see how she's doing. And I remember sometime, I don't know time frame, it was a year later or whatever, I'd heard she'd gotten right with the Lord. And so I stopped by this place she was working again and saw her. And she said, Mr. Robinson, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. So she told somebody that there that she was going to come speak to me. Stepped out. We stepped there in the public area. And she said, can I ask you something? She said, all those things. She said, you know, read my Bible and praying and dressing right and all those things. She said, it used to be just, I did it and it wasn't a problem. But she said, now it's such a fight. It's so hard now. Why is that? And I said, I'll tell you why. Because you'd never tasted of those things before. But the old flesh likes those things. And once the flesh got a taste of that, now the flesh wants more of that. And now you've created an appetite in the flesh that you're having to fight all the time.
Yes, sir.
Good. Listen to me, young people. I understand all, my mom, my dad, they're always harping on this. Pastor, he's always harping on this. He's always preaching about these things. Can I tell you why? Because we know if you don't stay away, we're trying to keep you away. Because if you don't stay away, you're going to begin to desire those things and want those things. And it won't be long till you'll have those things and they will destroy you. Amen.
Yep.
I've never tasted alcohol. Some of you here can say the same thing. I've never tasted alcohol. I'm thankful for that.
Yes,
I've never done the first drug. I'm glad for that.
Amen.
Some of you can say, man, some of you would sit here and say, preacher, I wish I could say that. I remember the first time I ever took the first sip. I remember the first time I took the first toke. I remember the first time I took the first hit. And boy, my life spiraled down. Listen, there's some people in their grave tonight because they took the first drink or took the first hit. And if they just stayed away, like the preacher said, if they just stayed away, like mom and dad said, they wouldn't be in an early grave. We've not lost our mind. We're not just trying to harp on things. If Achan had done what the man of God said and said, stay away from the accursed thing. But he says, when I saw among it all, he was taking inventory. What's over there? You know what the old devil says? Boy, you're missing out. Here you are Friday night at a youth meeting. Man, those young people, they're having a good time out there tonight. They don't come to church. Church, he's a liar. He's a liar.
Yes, sir.
And if you start looking over there and listening to what they're saying, well, I'll just try it. I won't go to this month's youth meeting. I'll just miss church on a Sunday night. I just want to go over and see how they're living. If Achan never looked in there, if he had never disobeyed the word of God, he'd never ruined his life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How did this secret life begin? It began by disobedience. Oh, dear friend, I've got to move on, but I want to park here for just a minute. Obey God's word. Do what the Bible says. I know it's 2019, but dear friend, this Bible is still as relevant as it's ever been. It's still true. It's right. Amen. There's nothing wrong about it. And if you'll base your life on this Bible, I don't care if you're 5 or 55 or 85, this Bible works. And when you begin to disobey God, and boy, we'll disobey Him just in the little areas, just here and there. Oh, it won't stay just a little bit.
Good, preacher.
Amen. Well, I tell you right now, what I feel like I'm facing a lot is this contemporary music junk that's going on. And man, I probably miss God sometimes because sometimes I hit it and probably God didn't tell me to, but I just hit it anyhow, amen? I hate that mess. I hate that junk. And I don't know, and you can come prove me wrong, but I don't know anybody that just listens to just contemporary music. Because you start listening to what sounds like the world, it won't be long, you'll start listening to what the world has. Amen. Preacher, why are you preaching all the time? Because I want you to stay away from it.
Yeah.
Preacher, why are you preaching on modesty? Because I want you to stay away from what the world has. Preacher, why are you always harping about being faithful to church? Because you need to be here. You start missing once, you'll keep missing.
Good preacher, brother. Good preacher.
Why don't you just make up your mind tonight? I'm just going to obey God. Why don't you just make your mind, this brother priest, I'm just not going to give up my seat. I'm just going to stay right here in the house of God. I'm just going to keep doing right. Let them make fun. Let them say whatever they want to. I'm just going to be a Christian young lady, a Christian young man. I'm just going to go with God. I'm just going to obey what God's word says. Amen. It works.
Amen.
Where it had this secret life. Well, this secret life was caused by disobedience. Secondly, this secret life was continued by deception. It was continued by deception. Hey, how you doing this morning? Oh, good to see you, Brother Aiken. Oh, good to see you. How you doing? Good to see you. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, boy, isn't God good? Man, isn't it just good to serve God? Boy, that great victory God gave us. Hallelujah. Boy, isn't it wonderful? He knew how to talk. He knew all the things to say. But in his heart, he knew what was buried back in his tent. He knew what he had buried in his tent. Oh, he knew how all the church speak. And this thing was continued by deception as he would deceive others, make them think everything was okay. And you know why he deceived others? Because he had already deceived himself. The Bible says in 1 John 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth is not in us. 1 Corinthians 3 says, Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Don't fool yourself. God said that you're the Lord's. That I'm the Lord's. Amen. Are you hearing me? That we belong to God. Well, it's all right. Why? It's not anybody's business what I do. It's my body. It's my life. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. If you're saved, it's not your body and it's not your life. It's His. Now, this is right preaching, but I know it's not popular preaching in 2019, but it's right preaching. Amen. I know, listen, even amongst fundamental Baptists, they don't like this anymore. Amen. Now, I think I'm in a crowd tonight that believes this and understands this to be so. Amen. But the old devil say, it's okay. It's all right. You don't have to dress that way anymore. You don't have to act that way. You don't have to listen to your father's music. You don't have to worship like your mom and dad used to worship. It's all right. And we begin to think, well, you know, maybe it is okay. Well, I heard so-and-so, and he's a preacher, and I heard him say it was okay. Well, you know, so-and-so over there, man, he's got a big church, and they've got a praise and worship team in there now. So maybe it is okay. Don't die on me now. I know there's food, but I'll preach all night long. And if you die on me. Well, you know, it seems to be working for them. You know, just because something's big doesn't mean there's life in it. You ever seen a dead animal on the side of the road? The longer it's been dead, the bigger it is. I'm trying not to be too gross, but you know what I'm saying, amen? Just because something's big doesn't mean there's life in it. Amen. I like what one preacher said. It's going to take a whole lot longer if I have to preach an amen. All right, so help me out tonight, all right? It's caused by disobedience, but it was continued by deception. Every day, now if Achan knew the Lord, every day he got up, and I believe his heart was pricked. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Man, that was wrong. And he was, but then he kind of, after a while, well, you know, it's not that big a deal. You know, brother so-and-so, I bet if people knew what he was doing. And old sister so-and-so, I mean, they're not doing right either. The old devil, man, he's a master at that of deceiving, helping us to deceive ourselves and think, well, I'm okay. I'm okay. Now listen, before I move on, before you say, well, preacher, listen, you shouldn't be judging me that way. I'm not judging. I'm not the standard. I'm not telling you to do what I say is right. My first point was disobeying God's word. You do what God's word says. Paul told the church of Corinth, he said, they measure themselves by themselves or unwise. You should measure it to me, try to measure it to me or any other preacher or Brother Dawson. But God's word's the standard. How are we measuring up to God's word tonight? This secret life that was going to Achan had a secret life. It was caused by disobedience. It was continued by deception. He deceived others because he'd already deceived himself. May I say to you, thirdly, not only was it caused by disobedience, was it continued by deception, it was characterized by double-mindedness. The secret life is always characterized by double-mindedness. That word double-minded means wavering, uncertain, doubting, divided in interest. You know what the Bible says in John 1:8? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You see, when our hearts are not purified, when our hearts are not right, guess what? Our hands get dirty, because when we begin to think on things that are wrong, it's no longer we're doing things that are wrong. I have no doubt that, as I've already said, Achan got up in the morning and he was troubled by it. But it didn't take him long, he got over it. He convinced himself as the day went on, well, it's okay. Well, it's not that big a deal. Can I ask you a question? If it was okay, then why'd he bury it? If it was okay, why'd he hide it? If it was still okay, why'd he keep it buried? Can I just get personal? Can I just get the meddling? I guess maybe stop preaching. If that account online's okay, then why don't you tell mom and dad about it? If that social media account you have, is nothing's wrong with it, then why do you try to keep it a secret? If those friends you have are no problem, then why don't you want mom and dad to know about it? Why are you scared to death? Preacher's going to ask the wrong questions. I'm just asking the question tonight. If it's okay, then why are we hiding it? Why do we come to church and act one way, but then when we get with all our friends, we act another way? Dear friend, that's double-mindedness. And we give in to double-mindedness. Can I tell you something, dear friend? It gives way to a secret life. If our parents knew what song, what stations we had on the radio, oh my. If they knew what songs we had downloaded. Listen, I understand. Listen, Mom, Dad, can I just say something else here for a minute? Shame on us for not paying more attention. Shame on us for not... Listen, can I tell you why so many parents don't do right? Because it's hard to do right. It's not easy to be a Christian parent. I mean, it takes time and effort. It's inconvenient. And that's why most parents don't do it, because it's hard work. Yes, sir. Exactly. Amen. But it's worth it. Amen. You say, preacher, you don't trust my child. Can I quote Brother Lee Davis again? He said this. He said, no, I don't trust your child because I don't trust me. And I'm going to say, no, I don't trust your child. I don't trust my child because I don't trust me. And I know they're made out of the same flesh I'm made out of. Amen. And if you have any sense, you won't trust them either. Oh, no. My son's a little angel. My daughter's a little angel. Yeah, a fallen one. Amen. Listen, I love my daughters, but I understand this. If I allow them to go unsupervised, if I don't pay attention, listen, their flesh, the devil's after them, they will go wrong. Yes. Now, the biggest lies that have been told is the devil made me do it. He's never made us do anything. But I promise you one thing, he'll put the bait out. He'll do everything he can to lead them astray. He knows what arouses our attention. He knows what gets our attention. And dear friend, he'll do everything he can to try to lure them and draw them. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I believe this, as Christian parents, until our children get to the age that they, I'm not talking about being saved, until they get to the age that for themselves, they can begin to guard their own hearts. It is my job as a father, it is my wife's job as a mother, to keep their heart and to guard their heart until they're able to guard their own hearts.
Yes, sir.
I don't understand. This is not my notes, this is free. I don't understand why parents will say, well, you know, that's just the music they listen to, and you know, I just don't understand it, but it's just a phase they're going through. Have you lost your mind? How do you know they're going to live through that phase?
Right.
And how do you know that phase is not going to put them on a path that's going to be the course for the rest of their life?
Right.
I don't understand how fathers, I didn't say much, how fathers let their daughters leave the house dressed the way they're dressed. Because listen to me, men, we know how men think.
Amen.
And I love my daughters more than to let them be some showcase for a bunch of perverts.
Amen.
Amen.
Good preaching, brother.
Guard their hearts. Well, I'm just afraid I'm going to ruin the relationship. No, you're going to ruin it by letting them do whatever they want to do.
Yes, sir. Right.
They need a mother and a father, not a best friend.
Yes, sir.
Right. Not a buddy.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So sick and tired of these mothers trying to be their daughter's little girlfriend and run around with them. And these dads trying to be their son's buddies and run around with them. They need a godly father and a godly mother to steer them in the right direction.
Amen.
They need to see that it's real. Characterized by double-mindedness. Listen to me, young person. Hear me out now. You come to church on Sunday and God stirs and moves. And you go to the altar. And you say, oh, Lord, I want to do right. You get up Monday and go back to school. And that crowd's there again. You find yourself being pulled back that way. And next thing you know, you're talking about things you shouldn't talk about and doing things you shouldn't do and listen to things you shouldn't listen to. You come back the next Sunday and you hit the altar again. And I'm not against going to the altar. But dear friend, until you jump that secret life and understand this is not honoring God, and I'm gonna turn my back on all of it and just go with God.
Yes, sir.
There's no blessing in the double life, in the double-minded life.
Good preaching, brother.
Listen, I know young people that people look at and say, oh, they're such wonderful men. Listen, they're a preacher's daughter. They're a pastor's son. That doesn't matter. Listen, I teach in Christian school. I've been in Christian education for about 22 years. I've pastored for about 30 years. I've seen a lot of young people come and go. And I see, and Brother Dawson, I know you see the same thing. I see some that have the qualities of leadership. And whether they mean to or not, people just follow them. But I see so many more that are just followers. And depending on who they're around, and I don't even think sometimes they realize it, they're just following. Just following. Oh, that's the popular girl, so I need to hang around them. And they don't mean to, but I don't think their intentions originally are, but then they begin to talk like they talk and dress like they dress and act like they act just because that's the influence that's there. They get back to church in the youth group, and they say all the right things in the youth group. That's a secret life. That secret life is characterized by double-mindedness. You need to decide what the Bible teaches, what is right, young person, and just do it. Can I just say something? I feel led of the Lord right now. Says there's some of you that need to go in and erase a bunch of the songs you've downloaded, and the trash you're listening to. There's some of you tonight, you need to go home and you need to delete that account you have on social media and get rid of it. There's some of you, you don't have to go and announce it, but there's just some people you're hanging around that are influencing you wrong that you just need to stop hanging around. Amen.
Yes.
You need to now just declare once and for all, I'm no longer going to be double-minded. I'm going to go with God and do right. I'm going to find my seat and I'm going to stay in it. Amen.
Amen.
Good preacher.
I say again, if what Achan was doing was okay, why'd he keep it hidden in the tent? Why'd he bury it? We talk about hypocrites all the time, but dear friend, a real hypocrite, that word comes from the idea of playing a part. It was used when of the actors back in the Greek times of the plays. They were playing a part. And I think sometimes in church we say things and we don't mean them the way they come across, but I know we can say, well, it's just semantics, but we need to work on what we say. This is what we say sometimes to our young people. Why don't you just act like a Christian? Well, wait a minute. Why do we need to act like a Christian? How about we don't act like one? How about we just be a Christian? Can I tell you something as a pastor? I'm sick and tired of people acting like a Christian. I'm sick and tired of them coming to church on Sundays and acting like a Christian, but then at school and at work, they act like the devil all week long. Amen? That's double-minded. That hypocritical life, that's wrong. The adults are around, and everybody gets real quiet because we can't talk that way. But then no adults and young people, you know where the conversation goes. I think one of the worst places, I'm in Christian school, and listen, I love all of our young people at Christian school, but I understand they're still flesh. And I want to tell you the dangerous part is on those away ball trips, the back of the bus is a dangerous place. The back of the bus is a dangerous place because the talk just seems to go downhill. Amen. Stay with me now. Talking about music we shouldn't be talking about and Hollywood stars we shouldn't be talking about, all these kind of things. Amen. Now don't die on me. Amen. I'm talking about this secret life is characterized by double-mindedness. Matthew 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Listen, I know that I'm not just preaching to young people now, I'm preaching to all of us now. Is that any of us tonight? I hope not. We've got this church speak down, and we put our suit and tie on, and we come to church, and we sing in the choir, and we shake hands. Hey, brother, how you doing? So good to see you. Boy, God, good. Hallelujah. Amen.
Good preaching.
Whited sepulchres. Looking the part. But inside, we're just full of deadness. Amen.
Lord help. You're right.
Preacher, I just don't believe that. I don't think that the kind of music you listen to and all that kind of stuff, I don't think it has any effect on you whatsoever. Well, you just proved my point. You just showed me, and I'm not being mean when I say, you just showed me how spiritually ignorant you are. You just don't know your Bible. It does make a difference. It's caused by disobedience. It's continued by deception. It's characterized by double-mindedness. Can I say to you, fourthly, it creates difficulty and damage. It's hard. Hear me now. It's hard to live the secret life. It's a heavy thing to carry that. Always afraid. Can you imagine old Achan? He's living that, knowing that. And he's walking one day and Josh says, hey, Achan, can I see you? Yes, sir, what is it? He just wants to talk to him. And he leaves. I just thought I was caught that time. I had a man I was dealing with in the church a little bit, trying to help him. And if I ever had to come to him, I'd say, hey, brother, can I speak to you? What I do wrong now, pastor? That's what he'd say. What I do wrong now? I said, nothing, brother, nothing. I just want to talk to you. But I'd say, but maybe I do need to talk to you about something. That's how you're feeling, amen? I mean, just always on edge, just afraid. Can you imagine Achan? That's so heavy to have to carry around. Can I tell you, it's not only heavy for Achan, but now, you may disagree with me. Maybe you can prove me wrong. Maybe there's a place in that tent he hid no one knew. But I wonder if his wife didn't know he'd hid it. I wonder if his children didn't know he'd hid it. And this is what he'd say. Don't you say anything to anybody. Honey, don't you tell anybody what I've done. It'll ruin us. Boy, it's heavy on his wife. Listen to me. Son, don't you dare say a word. Daughter, don't you dare tell anybody. Now the children had to go and live a lie. You see in the news here lately about this, what they call it, tuition scandal. These Hollywood stars. One I read paid $500,000. To get her daughter on the crew team, a rowing team, and her daughter never rowed a day in her life. We look at them, well, they've got everything. They've got fame and fortune. And then they had to stoop to the place of hiring somebody to take the SAT for their kids. You know what I found so sad about that? And I don't know. Only God knows the truth. They said a lot of the sons and daughters didn't even know. Didn't know what mom and dad had done. And you can say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't know. But if they didn't, can you imagine? Not only is this matter of it causing being difficult, but causing damage, it's heavy, but also it's hurtful. Can you imagine the hurts of those sons and daughters, the shame they're feeling now that's on worldwide news? Mom paid $500,000 for me to get in school. Mom hired someone to take my SAT for me. I read one of the couples, they said that now the husband and wife are fighting because apparently he didn't know. I don't know the details, but it's hurtful. Hear me out. I'm trying to move on, but hear me out, mom and dad. You want to turn your child against God? Don't be real. Don't be real.
Right, yes, sir. That's true.
Come to church. Oh, praise God. And your son and daughter's looking and say, what is that?
You're right. Yes, sir. Good preacher.
Preacher preaches on sin. And amen, preacher. And the son and daughter's thinking, but dad does that. I've heard dad's mouth out there when he gets mad at the lawnmower. I've heard mom's mouth when she gets mad at dad. Amen. I know what dad listens to in the truck.
Right. Good preaching.
Amen.
Right.
I'm told that's heavy for a young person. And then they come and the preacher preaches and they're thinking, well, which one's right? I mean, preacher's preaching these things and my heart's being stirred, but I know my mom and dad seem to be with him. But then they go home and they don't leave anything the preacher's saying. That's heavy and it's hurtful. Don't you tell anybody what goes on in our house. Don't you let them know. I'm telling you, Brother Scott, we're destroying a generation because we're just not real. We're playing games with God. Just because you can come to church and you can jump high and you can shout and all that, different if you're not living right. Just sit in your pew and be quiet. Just hush. Quit playing the game. Quit being a mockery. Quit hurting your son and daughter. Amen. Amen. Creates difficulty and damage. Boy, I could say so much, but I want to move on. Can I say to you, fifthly, it culminates in destruction. Look in chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 23. And they took them out in the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters and his ox and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. It wasn't just Achan that died that day. His wife was stoned and his children were stoned. He lost everything because that secret life, it culminates in destruction. Mom and dad, you won't turn your child against the things of God. Live a secret life. I want to say this now. Again, I'm not trying to be mean. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this from mom and dads. Their children get old enough and get out of church and quit. I just don't understand it. I did everything I could. Now, I'm not trying to be unsympathetic. I can't imagine my son or daughter leaving church, how it'd break your heart. But I'm just being honest with you this morning. I've heard that so many times. And what I want to say is, no, you didn't. You didn't even do the least you could. Now, hear me. When you make ball as important as church, you're going to lose your child. When you make the drama club at school as important as church, you're going to lose your child. When you make the choral group at school as important as church, you're going to lose your child. When you make anything and put it on the same level as church, you're going to lose your child.
Good preaching.
I'm sick and tired of this. This is what I see. And Brother Dotson, I know, agree with this. I see your kids, man. They have a tender heart for the Lord. They want to do something for the Lord. They get 16 to get a license. They're allowed to get a job and nothing wrong with somebody working. But then they start missing church, Brother Scott. Well, I had a job and nothing I could do. Well, listen, I've got a big enough God. Amen. That I believe if I pray, God, I want to honor you. And I don't want to work on Wednesday nights, and I don't want to work on Sundays. I've got a big enough God, He can find me a job where I don't have to work on Wednesday nights, and I don't have to work on Sundays. I mean, just call me foolish, but my God's that big.
Yes.
Amen? God always honors doing right. They start missing church, and so, well, it's just Wednesday nights, not a big deal. Well, to God, it's a big deal. This is what I found out. It starts at Wednesday nights. Well, it's just a Sunday night. And I'm just going to fill in for the guy just once. Doesn't happen just once. And then either they start missing Sundays for work or, well, I've just been so busy. I've been at school. I've been working these hours. That's the only time I had to be with my friends. It's the only time. And so they start missing church. And guess what? After that, you have to send the FBI to find them. And then they get to be 18 years old and they get out of, they graduate high school, go to college or whatever. And, man, they never come back to church then. I am sick and tired of losing our young people. I am sick and tired of losing our young people. I'm telling you, it's time for some moms and dads. If we believe this Bible, let's stand on the truth of this Bible. Let's trust God. Let's instill these things in our children that they might trust God. Because I'm telling you, dear friend, if we keep having these secret lives, we're going to lose our children. Now hear me, young person. You always take somebody with you. And if you're living a secret life, they know you go to church. They know you're involved in the youth group. They know you sing in the youth choir. Do you even know if those friends, if they even know Jesus Christ is Savior? Are you sure they're even going to heaven? And here you are living a secret life, and I know it's their choice, but you sure aren't helping them get to heaven. Devil's using you to say, see? You're as good as he is. I mean, he has to give up his weekends to go to church, but listen to how he talks. Look at what he watches. Listen to what he does. He lives the same way you do. It culminates in destruction. You always take somebody with you. But hear me out. It's cured only by disclosure. Word disclosure means by confession. Now, I want you to know something, dear friend. It'll be disclosed one of two ways. Either you'll disclose it and confess it, or God will pull the curtain back and he'll disclose it and confess it. I read about another man in the Bible that you're very familiar with that lived a secret life. There was a man, the Bible says it was at the time when kings went forth to battle. His heart was already straying away, else he wouldn't have stayed behind. And he walked out on that rooftop that night, not with the intention to lust, not with the intention to ruin his life. He was just in a place he shouldn't have been in the first place. Just like Achan, if he had stayed away and not looked, he never would have sinned. And if David had been where he should have been, he wouldn't have walked down the rooftop that night and walked over the edge and looked over and have seen a woman bathing herself. And his heart was not in the right place, strong enough to say, oh, I should have done that and confess. No, he stayed. He lingered. He looked. He longed. He lusted. And he called for. He committed sin. No doubt after the deed was done, he realized, boy, his heart was just ripped out. He knew he'd sinned against God. But instead of getting it right, well, I'm the king. I got to cover this up. Especially when she came and said, I'm a child. What can I do? I'll call for her husband. This is how wicked it was. One of my mighty men. One of the men who would lay down his life for me. Who would do anything for me. And how am I going to reward that? I'm going to call him up here and try to deceive him. Hey, Uriah, well, you've been such a good soldier. Why don't you just have a little R&R? Just spend a few days with your wife and just enjoy. You've been such a good soldier. But Uriah had more integrity than the king. He said, I can't come and enjoy time with my wife and be here with my brethren out there fighting. And he slept on the doorstep, wouldn't even go in. David said, I've got to come up with something better than this. And he wrote out Uriah's death certificate. sealed it with his ring, placed it in Uriah's hand. Take this back to Joab. You're doing a good job. Pat him on the back. Knew he was sending him to die. Better he die than I be found out for what I am. Preacher, I'd never. Be careful. You don't know what you'll do when you get so deep into sin. And he sent him there and he handed it to Joab. Joab read it, no doubt, took a double take. And when orders were given, he said, Uriah, I want you to go to the forefront of the battle, the hottest part. And Uriah died. Word came back to David. Maybe just a tinge of remorse, a tinge of guilt. He knew what he'd done, but he thought, phew, I got away with it. Nobody will ever find out now. I'll do right from here on out. I'll ask God to forgive me. I mean, I know I was wrong. I'll do right from here. But he really didn't get right with the Lord. Till one day the man of God came. King, there's two men. This one man lives over here. He's wealthy. He's got all kinds of livestock and sheep. He's wealthy. And his neighbor doesn't have anything but this one little ewe lamb. And this rich man has visitors coming in. But instead of taking from his surplus and preparing, he went and took that man's only lamb, killed it, and served it. The Bible says David was mad, angry. He ought to pay fourfold. He ought to die. And if you go back, this brother was mentioning it, David paid at least fourfold. The sin of Amnon, Absalom, it's fourfold. The child, the baby died. Amnon committed just a heinous sin. Absalom rebelled and then Absalom killed Amnon. At least fourfold, if not more, David paid. He was angry and said what should happen. And that old man of God said, King, thou art the man. David thought he got away with that secret life. Nobody knows. God gave him chance after chance to get right, but he just kept playing a game. And God finally said, that's it. And he reached and pulled back the curtain. And said, this is who you are. This is what you've done. God is a loving God. He's a gracious Savior. His forbearance, oh, thank God for His mercy and grace. But there's some of you, no doubt, here tonight, you know better. You're not disobeying out of ignorance. You know what the Bible says. You're choosing to do wrong. You've chosen the wrong friends. You've chosen to satisfy your flesh. You're playing games. You think you've got mom and dad fooled. You've got the pastor fooled. The youth pastor fooled. You think everybody's fooled, but you don't have God fooled. And God has brought you here tonight, once again, to deal with your heart, to say, stop living that secret life. Won't you come and disclose it and get it right with me? Tonight, here in a moment, you can come, pour your heart out to God, and get right. Or you can walk away and say, no, I'm not going to. But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. God will pull that curtain back. I'd rather come clean before God. Take His chastening, whatever I have to, than have to, if I use these terms, than have to push God or force God to the place that He's got to deal with me in a severe way. God doesn't want to deal with us severely, but He will if that's what it takes. This secret life. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Numbers 32:23, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. This man I started the message with, over 40 years, these crimes have been hidden. But eventually, the truth came out. He's in prison tonight. Spend the rest of his days there. We're not talking about crimes like that, I don't believe, but we're talking about sins against God. You're living a hard life. There's no blessing, there's no peace in that secret life. Always looking over your shoulder. But tonight, if you'd just come to God, God, I'm sorry. I've broken your word. I've done wrong and I know it. I've run long enough. Oh God, would you please forgive me? Help me turn my back on all that and wholly give my life to you and live for you. He'll forgive you and help you. And there's joy in serving Jesus. May God help us live a real life, a true life, and not this secret life. Amen. Father, thank you for the privilege to preach the Word of God tonight. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts and souls. Father, I look out and I see faces, but God, you look out and you see hearts. And you know tonight, God, exactly what's needed. I thank you for every young man, every young woman that's here. Lord, it's a joy to see this good crowd. But Lord, I'd be foolish to think that there's not someone here that on the outside is trying to look the part, but on the inside, they're far, far from thee. God, I beg of you, please, don't let that young man or that young lady leave here tonight in that same condition. But I pray, Lord, the Spirit of God would so grip their souls, grip their hearts, they'd have to come tonight, confess, and make those things right. God, have your way. We entrust these things into your hands. We love you, Lord. Thanks, God.